Okay, legends, welcome back to the next installment of Chat with the Hat, episode 36. I'm Dave, your host, and with me is my favorite little millennial, Rowan.
What's happening, guys? How's it going? Good to be back again. It's a little bit late this week. We got there in the end.
Yeah, we're kind of late, but I'm going to get this one cut and posted as soon as we finish this because we're in a bit of a rush. We've had a bit on this week, personally, in our personal lives, a bit of drama-rama. But, yeah, we'll get this one done. We're recording on the Wednesday night. So tomorrow I fly off to New Zealand to go party at Taupō. And Rowan walks around because he used to ride around. But now he's walking around.
Walking for now, seeing as some useless prick decided it'd be a fun idea to flog my bike out of my front alcove on Tuesday night or Monday night. So... yeah, that was lots of fun. Kind of had a few too many drinks. Forgot to lock the front alcove on Monday night and woke up on Tuesday, went to go down to the post office and walked outside to find a bike missing. Kind of stood there for about a minute looking at a blank space in the front alcove going, something's meant to be here, and then realizing pretty quickly that it was the bike I was about to try and hop on. So,
yeah,
a bit pissed off. Had a few leads, had to wander around the streets all night last night trying to... see if I could find it, but to no avail. So, yeah, you live in Elwood and you see a BMX bike with a 3-spoke alloy on the front and a 48-spoke rear one and a brightly coloured, multicoloured seat. Give me a burl and let me know because that's my bike and some prick shouldn't be riding it.
Yep. That's poor form, man. Sorry to hear.
Yeah, that's right. Life, unfortunately, you deal with these kind of dickheads sometimes. So hopefully you get it back. It's been it's been reported to the cops. It's up on all the local community sites. It's been on the put on that Bike Vault website and everything like that. So if it's been dumped, which I highly imagine it would be, it's probably a little bit too unique to try and sell. So
they're just riding it around just to go from A to B, buddy.
Yeah, that's it. If I find them on it, I'll clothesline them off the thing and take it back. So.
I might have to clip that off for future court cases.
Leave it up. I don't care. Bugger
this is no different than old mate when he said, I'm going to take him out in the next race and then does it and goes, oh, no, I didn't really mean it.
Didn't. Yeah, you kind of said you would. Yeah,
you kind of said you would. You got your head of steam up about you. And then it happens and you go, oh, no, I was just joking. Yeah, mate, there's a couple of weeks sitting on the sideline for you.
That's it. I'm a man of my word.
So we have had some supercars news, even though we're about to go hit Taupō for round three. Seems like it's been, I don't know, 6 months since Melbourne GP. I know, right? How good's this calendar? So we're heading off to Kiwiland with our cuzzy bros. I've put my jandals in my bag and they're going to supply my chelly buns. And on the way over there, though, 888 revealed the super cheap wild car for Lounsey and Cooper Murray. They dropped that off in Melbourne on Friday.
They did. I was a little bit shocked to see a red super cheap livery on it, to be honest with you. I didn't see that one coming.
You're joking, right?
Yes.
Sorry, you were so deadly serious you actually got me for a second. It's a good shot for Cooper Murray, though. It's a good chance for him to get in. And this program they're doing with the Lounsey zooming around with a young gun has got legs. I'm a big fan. I reckon they should keep this going forever.
Oh, it's great. Well, they're in for another year at least. And yeah, it's a properly good campaign they've got going. Pop one of the most experienced heads in Australian motorsport in the car with a young gun. Give him some, not just some seat time, but some time in the garage with one of the best in the business. So, kudos to 888 and keep it going. It's at least one more year on it and hopefully a couple more if Lounsey's up for it.
Yeah, well, Lounsey gets to drive at Bathurst and Sandown. Sorry, do I have to do it again, do I? Okay.
Oh, bugger,
So Coops is going to have a squirt in Darwin on a solo run as the third entry for the wild card because the team can only put three in. So he's going to have a solo run there in June, which is going to be good for him.
Yep.
Just hang the car out and then come down and play with Lounsey for Sandown and Bathurst. And BJR are running Matty Charter as well as a wild card.
So are they Charter's doing that just for Bathurst, or are they going to pop them up at Darwin as well?
I don't know. They didn't say anything about Darwin, just for the Enduros. So Matty Charter's got himself back in again. He's had a couple of goes in the as a wild card and also as a Coey in the Enduros. But they BJR haven't named the other guy, like the whoever they're going to race with yet.
Yeah.
So there's a seat available. So all your young guys. Reef, Bailey.
They've got a couple of links to Super 2s now, though. Who have they got racing in the Super 2s for them?
With BJR?
Yeah. Got one of the Coke-sponsored cars is
Kai
BJR,
Allen,
isn't it? Is it Kai Allen? Yeah,
no,
oh, he's
already
got a ride, though,
doesn't
he?
That's DJR. Yeah. That's Dick Johnson. Yeah.
No, I thought BJR have got a couple of cars as well. But not with
Kai Allen and Coke's.
No.
Yeah.
No, they've got three. There's Coke is sponsoring three cars in the Super 2, Super 3 series.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not sure.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up, but I know that it's one of them. It's McLeod, Cameron McLeod. It's not him. Might be McLeod, actually.
I know the field moved around a little bit this year, like people coming and going and stuff. It's definitely not on the AIM Motorsport side of things, though, because Eggleston. I don't think it's with Eggleston.
No, I don't think I. Jeez, I can't remember who it is. I'll have to look it up.
Matt White?
Get back to you next episode.
Matt White Racing, maybe.
Could be Matt White. Yeah,
but he had all the Nissans. He had all the Ultimas.
Yeah, no, it's not a. Oh no, they're all Commodores. I think I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's right, because they're getting rid of the Nissans.
Because they're just too far.
They're too far away from the current cars we're racing in the Super 2s. Yeah, okay. Well, let's follow that up next week. We've got some homework to do. We'll follow that up and just look at the Super 2s a bit more in depth, because they've got to round off. They don't race them for another 2 months or something. So
they've got a while off.
But apart from all that bling and the shiny stuff with wild cards being announced and liveries being dropped, because there's been a couple of Kiwi liveries coming up. We might as well jump on them first for New Zealand. Speaking of BJR, Macaulay Jones, the rent livery car, is repping a Wendy's Burger livery now. So bye-bye, SpongeBob.
That looks pretty good as well, the Wendy's livery. It looks well. Gizzy's running the Wendy's livery this weekend as well at Talladega. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, and so everybody's looking across the table going, why has he got a Wendy's livery on there? Wendy's do like ice cream and hot dogs in the breezeway of shopping centres. Well, kiddies, Wendy's used to be the burger joint back in the 80s in Australia, but then they sold up and left. Pretty much Hungry Jack's bought all their stores back in the day. So now Wendy's are coming back to Australia as a burger joint. So they make square burgers in round buns. And that's why. That's why Shane's got it on this weekend. That's why we're running it here in Australia. They're looking to chuck another 200 stores in Australia in the next 10 years. So Brad Jones, I don't know where he gets all this stuff from, because he must be on some sort of like LinkedIn thing for if you want to insert sponsor here. In Australia, you want to do something, call me, we'll do whatever you want. Pizza Hut are gone. Well, actually, this is all part of Pizza Hut as well, because I think the guys that own Wendy's own Pizza Hut. So
yes, I think so. Yeah,
I think Wendy's actually own Pizza Hut. It's just one of their businesses, it's Pizza Hut are just going, mate, we're just gonna just livery up whatever, we don't care, we don't need red pizza cut cars. So that's cool.
No.
Did you see the Grove racing car, though?
Oh, my God. That thing is sex on wheels. That is such a stunning looking car. That silver, the grey and silver livery, it's just, man, I saw it the other day and I just went, my God, that thing looks awesome, like properly awesome.
You know how we've always said you just can't mess a Penrite livery up because they're the best at it, right? The color, colors are perfect. The sheer design of it all, it's impossible to screw up a Penrite livery. But we're shooting across the ditch, and then they come out with this grey and silver Kiwi themed camo print with Kiwis and the outline of New Zealand and ferns, and it's just spectacular.
Trying to find the post again now, because yeah, that car's just absolutely awesome looking. That's got a actually, I don't even care. There's not going to be another livery this year, I don't reckon. That's got a win livery of the year, I reckon, for sure, that thing.
Oh, when they do a proper Australian camo one, I was a big fan of the dirty camo livery that they did for Townsville. I was a very big fan of that when it was with Erebus back in the day.
Nah, I reckon this one dicks all over them. That's right up there with the
well, it's beating Wendy's.
Scene, I reckon.
I mean, Wendy's is pretty.
It is beating
but Wendy's.
Wendy's
is Wendy's. We don't even have Wendy's yet, but it's all
not
good.
Yet. They're coming.
They're coming. You can get a square burger in a round bun. So, but all of that done, that looks all pretty. But there has been another chapter in the actual saga that is Erebus. And I'm just going to start off with the definition of Erebus in Greek mythology was the primordial god of darkness and shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And they are definitely living up to their name of being the god
they
of darkness
are.
And shadows. So do you want to have a go at this? You want to go first?
Debauchery and despair. Well, you know, all I'm going to say is I called it. You know, last week's potty, I said I'm pretty sure the only way that Brody would go back to Erebus is if he gets the living crap. He had the living crap sued out of him, or they threatened to sue the living crap out of him. And then sure enough, 2 days later, the Wide World of Sports drops an article from BK's lawyer leaking some letters from Erebus threatening to sue him to the tune of $3 to $4 million for loss of income due to all their sponsors pulling out. So, you know, shock horror, that's the only reason that Brody's gone back to Erebus is because he was going to be $4 million out of pocket that he didn't have if he didn't. So, you know, so much. And the thing that pisses me off the most is they're still playing the happy families and we're glad to have him back and, you know, all this. I'm like, mate, like, why are you still playing these games? Why are you still lying your ass off? Everyone knows now. Just stop
mate,
it.
They're the kings of gaslighting.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's just it's beyond a joke now because everybody knows. Like it's got out there. People were sitting there going, oh, yeah, maybe not, maybe not, maybe not. Now, as soon as that article dropped, like the tune of so many people on social media changed because they realized that there was actually something going on and it wasn't a health issue with Brody or blah, 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 whatever. And they realized that there was a problem with the team. And the only reason that he's going to go back with him is because they've literally threatened to sue the shit out of him and send
him. He's got
him
a gun being
like,
held to his head, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now.
Yeah, and you know, and then they come out to the bloody test day and they're still crapping on about happy families and how much they're loving everything and just give it up, guys. Like, stop pretending. Like, just be who you are and show everybody that. Don't try and play happy families anymore. It's beyond a joke now.
But the ones that are watching YouTube, I'm still repping the hashtag Let Brody
he
Race
does.
Shirt, right? I've still got this on now. I need to take it down to like a little T-shirt, dude, and get some more words added to it. It needs an update. So the Let Brody Race is fine. So all of that fuss at the back of the garage when I wore this down at Bathurst and all the abuse and the violence that was thrown at me. There could have been a lawsuit coming their way, I can tell you. But all of that, all I need to do now is add two more words at the bottom. Well, three more words.
For someone else.
That's it. That's it, mate. Because they've let Brody race. So just for someone else. So now, the thing that, I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not even a journalist. It's awesome. All care, no responsibility. And the guy's been stuck in a rock and a hard place because he's been given this ultimatum, drive or pay. So why wouldn't you go to court? Why? Just go with me on this. why wouldn't you go to court? Why would you capitulate for fear of having this massive debt after also losing probably up to $1 million of helmet sponsors that you're not allowed to run anymore, which is personal money in the bank? Why would you not countersue for workplace bullying, harassment, assaults, whatever? Like, you name it, whatever you want to do. Yeah. Intimidation, like mental health, mate. They're the ones that ran the line.
Yeah.
They broke me. Like, they've abused me mentally, and I'm now going to countersue. Because if you go to court, people have to give evidence. So you can bring up all the ex-employees that have now left through alleged intimidations and bullying and
of which there's more than a few,
abuse. I'm putting alleged in there because I don't have proof of it. That's for them to say. But this is what they would not want, surely. They wouldn't want to go to court where under oath people have to give testimony and expose the daily habits of the workplace. So if you want to go throw a big stick at me and say, I'm going to sue you for talking to the sponsors and saying that I'm out of here, and then it's your fault that they're leaving, and blaming him for all of that, well, why don't you go back the other way and go, well, I'm going to sue you for putting me in a position where I can't go to work because I'm being intimidated, bullied, and it's a toxic environment, and do a countersuit and then bring everybody else in and blow the lid off.
The only thing or only reason that I can see, and I still haven't actually checked this up and looked it up yet, but the only reason that I think that may not have been the case was because it was either
timeline,
like get out of the contract now to get in racing, or you know, he was effectively kind of stuffed for the rest of the year for that point otherwise. So I think it was, you know, it was either get back in the car or, you know, not be racing effectively for the rest of the year, because they weren't going to let him out.
Possibly because if Todd races for this round, then he's not eligible without a dispensation.
Yeah, so and is that actually a rule? Because I didn't actually know about
that. Yeah, it
is.
I confirmed it with a couple of friends of mine who I said, where is it in the guide? And they said, well, it's not in the guide. They actually mail you out the team's sort of sub regs that don't make it to the main operations manual. So,
I saw some dude post it online and I went, you know, it kind of makes sense, but I'd never heard about it before. So, no. So
if you want to be a co-driver, you can't be a main driver, because that's why they separate them since the old days.
That's the only thing that I can think is why he's done it, because they were never going to let him out of his contract. That was a given. They were sticking to their guns on that one, you know, giving up on that, we'll let drivers go if they want to go, that's out the window. They were never going to let him out of his contract, so if he wanted to come back this year, he had no choice but to go and race for Erebus again.
Now that he is racing and his backside's going to be trackside in Taupo, he's almost 600 points behind Brownie and Brock.
Yeah, good enough too. Yep.
Close enough. 575, doesn't matter. So unless there's going to be a dead set punter-palooza going on where Brownie and Brock just take each other out a lot, being ultra competitive.
The only way he gets back into it at all is if both of those two drivers, Brock and Feeney and Brown, both have a weekend where they effectively score no points.
That's my point. That's punter-palooza.
Exactly. and that puts him at least back to within 250, 280 points, which is close. But then Brody has to just about win everything as well for the rest of the year to make back that 280 points that he still requires, even after they DNF an entire round. So,
well, you saw how hard it was for Van Giersbergen last year, dropping 150 points.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had to fight his way through the season, and he didn't care either.
No.
But he still raced day by day, eyes in. Helmet on, I'm racing. If it's not going my way, the car's not working, I don't care, I'm going to NASCAR. Like,
Yeah,
literally,
who
I don't
cares?
care. I'm just going to pull in the pits and go, mate, it's just a bucket of shit.
Yeah.
Brady's going to be fighting his way to win races. Helmet on. I'm a racer. This is what I do. I enjoy it. This is what I love. But if the car's not working for him or the back end's not working for him in the garage, if it doesn't go his way, well, do you put in the extra
He doesn't care.
5%? No.
He couldn't care less. He's,
Nah, you just
well,
go, oh, well, I had fun. It was good fun. Yeah, I'm fifth.
exactly. And there's one thing that I can almost guarantee. It's that at the end of this year, Erebus is going to be looking for someone else to fill that seat again, because he's not going to be there for 2026 or 2025.
Yeah, well, wait and see if he even makes it
So,
to the end of the year.
yeah.
Something will kick off. So we okay. That's it. That's the end of the Erebus news. Hang on, hold my
For
beer.
now. Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. No, that's it for now. We're done with that for now. So
You reckon?
for now.
You
We'll
reckon?
give it another week or
Whatever
two.
do
We'll
is
see what
Coey.
happens. We'll see what. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
That's what I
There is
said.
a
I'm
hold
a
my
beer,
beer.
mate. You think it's over?
That's
This is the magic
right.
pudding that just keeps giving.
Isn't it? That's right. Because D Russ is gone now as well. So
Yeah.
he decided, well, Brody, don't think Brody's coming back. Stuff it. He probably signed that contract with Premier. And even if Brody did come back, I think he's just done with Erebus anyway. So, you know, go and sign with Zibs at
Yep.
Premier, and get yourself another decent co-drive for the year.
So Zibs will lock up Dave Russ for the Coey, and next year when Erebus contract is up for Brody and he's in the free market, he's free game to go anywhere he likes, domestic or overseas. And Zibs has already put his hand up. Zibs wants him already.
I've got
He
a.
wanted him
Well,
now. If he could get out
he's
of the
already said
deal, he would
I've got
have.
a car for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was going to have another car, but no, there is. Okay. Yeah, I shouldn't say that. The seat was going to become available for him, put it that way, out of the two car team. So, but nobody was going to lose a paycheck out of that. So now that Brady's back, D Russ has left, Todd goes back to co-driving for Jack, I'm assuming, because that's where he was starting. Then Jaden Ojeda, who was the anointed co-driver and then lost his seat because Brody came back, and then Dave left, and now Jaden might have got his seat back. We'll have to wait and see if there's an announcement, but
We'll see.
the juice might still be driving in the Coeys as a Coey.
The magical musical
The
chairs that
BK.
is Erebus Motorsport. So we'll see how this pans out. Watch this
Yep.
space.
Yep, I don't have enough textures and crayons to draw enough dots and make lines on the whiteboard to get this convoluted story in check. So
Get
that's
some
the end of all
pins
of
and
that.
wool.
Now we're finished with all of that chaos for this week. We're off to the Cozy Bros on the weekend. And did you see the 2 20-minute jobbies that Supercars put out for the Road to Taupo with the New Zealand drivers?
No, I haven't actually had a chance to watch them yet, so I'll might have to make that my bedtime viewing later on tonight when I jump into Betty Boys.
Yeah, well enough done. Nothing spectacular. It's basically a 20-minute ad just to advertise we're coming over to New Zealand to New Zealand fans. Here's all your New Zealand guys, and this is what they've done this year so far. A little bit of behind the scenes in the garage, not much. It's truly not a Drive to Survive style expose. It's basically a summary of the last couple of rounds and how they, getting ready and testing and quali, and it's an advertisement. It's just an ad, well put together, but it's an ad.
Just a very long ad.
Yep. Now, as far as the track's concerned, all of our guys went over there. Most of our guys went there for some track days this week or last week in local cars. The V8, their V8 supercar over there, not the supercar, but yeah, the V8. What are they called? New Zealand V8s and
New Zealand V8s,
T86s
whatever,
and T86s to see which way the track turns. This whole curvy complex at the start turns 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like left, righty, left, right, left, righty, up before we turn around and come back. Yeah, don't expect a great deal of overtaking, mate.
No, I wouldn't think so. Yeah, it's only up towards the back straight coming into those kind of tighter turns down the long straights. I think there might be one or two good little passing opportunities, but
Under
I think a lot
brakes.
of the tracks, yeah.
You're making a dive under brakes. You know, you get a good run on someone, come up. And we'll see how that goes. But, you know, it's we don't have a Puka Cowie anymore, so this is what we have. So it's going to be fantastic. Fully sold out. don't even start me on my...
Let's talk about that one, Dave. Fully sold out, isn't it? Yeah. So...
It's been a punish. It has been a punish. Everything was working perfectly fine. Airfares were booked there and back. Tickets were bought. Happy days weeks ago. Everything was perfectly sorted. So I got to get my ticket today from Ticket Tech New Zealand, and it doesn't exist. And I'm going, where's my ticket? What are you talking about? I bought a ticket like 5 weeks when the Wednesday they went on sale. I bought them on the Thursday, and no, it doesn't exist. So the transaction hasn't gone through. So here's me for weeks and weeks thinking I'm all sweet. I've got my GA pass, my paddock pass, and just going to head over to New Zealand and watch new track. And nope, I've got no ticket. So then my booking agent, doesn't tell me that the airline have changed my flight home from 8 p.m. till 3 p.m., but my flight from Taupo to Auckland lands at 7 p.m. So I got no notification of the flight change coming home, no acceptance of it, nothing. I found this out on the weekend. So I've been frantically trying to rebook airfares because my agent, sorry, the call center for my agent on the fifth go are still handballing it from department to department and still haven't got back to me and are still trying to listen to recorded conversations from last Friday, like 8 days ago, to see what I was told. I'm saying, I can tell you what I was told. I will call you back within 24 hours. I said, that's unacceptable. You've cancelled my entire return flight when in fact you were only supposed to cancel the Auckland to Melbourne flight and leave me so I can still fly to Auckland. So it's been a cluster. So I had no airfare to get home and I have no ticket to go to the races. So
what a weekend,
I'm spending $2,000 to go sit by the lake and watch it on TV.
it's gonna be fun.
It'll come good.
Well, hopefully it seems like you may have got that the ticket situation sorted out.
Maybe.
So,
once I work out how to pay some guy in New Zealand from Australia on the internet, because apparently that's almost impossible. It's very hard to do to transfer money with my bank. I'm scared of doing it. So anyway, regardless of all that, push on, buddy. I'll be in Taupo this weekend. I'll be there tomorrow, and I'll be at the track by hook or crook. Yeah. Somehow.
We'll be there.
But speaking of being at the track, I went down to the Phillip Island Speed Series. Now, this is real racing. This was cool as hell.
Oh, so cool.
Too bad you couldn't make it down, dude, because you got into it on Sunday.
And the weather was just perfect. It was just a spectacular day down at the island.
Overcast.
I was just shattered.
Like 19 degrees, something overcast, no wind, perfect.
Yeah. So bloody hell, Phil, get yourself better, mate.
Yeah, Phil.
Look after yourself so you can drive me around, mate.
Or you can just get your license. Then you won't have to worry about someone stealing your bike.
Nah, it's more fun having a chauffeur than I can drink.
Millennials these days, relying on the kindness of others, not taking any straight responsibility. So speaking of perfect weather, and I thought it was great to go racing, so did thousands of other people. It was the largest crowd I've ever seen at a speed series round. It was huge. There was heaps of people there, mate, thousands of people down by the track. Car parks were full, all the way down to turn one. Dudes over at Siberia, up the top at Lukey.
That is absolutely awesome to see as well, because we've been crapping on about how good the Speed Series is for a year and a half now, and it's good to see that people are actually finally. I think the free to air coverage has definitely helped it, The new categories that they're getting in have definitely helped it, but it's so good to see that many people actually coming down now to the track and checking out the Speed Series events, because they are probably the best categories racing wise to watch in Australia at the moment. So
Oh, I
it's awesome to
agree.
see. Yeah.
The GT4s debuted there. Oh, it was Mustang round, by the way. It was the 60th
It was.
anniversary of the Mustang. So there's like shirtloads of Mustangs all lined up on display. The Mustang Club came down all the way back from the 60s to the current
Yep.
model. And they did a little, the slowest parade lap you've ever seen first thing on Sunday morning. This is like
Yeah.
before the day's events. They just lined up maybe 50 of them on the track. And they did a lap around Phillip Island. I swear they didn't break 60 k's an hour behind the course car. I would have been furious.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to do a parade lap. This is just kind of before people start to arrive as well. So you're just doing it for
Yeah.
your own enjoyment. But you're doing 60 k's an hour.
Yeah.
You
And
got
on
these
Phillip
muscle
Island.
cars. You got these
Yeah.
muscle cars on a circuit. And surely we can do 100. Surely we can do like 120.
You'd think so, yeah.
Like we're not doing 250 here. Like it's such a wide and easy circuit. Surely
Yeah,
we can
but take them
actually
up. Give them 100 at
at least
least. Like,
highway
come on.
speed, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Just highway speed.
That's it.
But anyway, so the Trans Amzo, apart from having awesome racing and Golding just kicking ass with Moffat, the GRM boys kicking ass. It's because the GRM boys' rear right tyres were not blistering and tearing themselves up like everybody else up and down the lane. And nobody
There's a
really knows why.
little bit of magic going on there. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
There's some sprinkling of some fairy dust going on there. So,
Yeah.
yeah, every
But
other tyre. You saw Nathan Hearne showed, did you see the little video he did with the tyre? All blistered up and
the aero bar. Yeah.
So Nathan Hearne puts that out. So, but just before he did that on the Saturday, I went up and down the lane around the sort of the pits,
Yeah.
and I was checking out everyone's right rear tires myself, and I was hanging out with Dream Racing as well, with Jackson Rice and Josh Webster, and their tires were just as cooked as the one that Nathan showed. And just destroyed. But I didn't want to show that at that time, because I wasn't sure if that was something that might have just been local to their setup and not everybody.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to like let anybody get a bit of advantage of info that, you know, the teams don't want out there. And then I see
Yeah.
Nathan's video and went, oh yeah. If he's
Yeah,
putting it
they're
out
fucked.
there, if Herney's putting
Yeah.
it out there going, this is what's happening,
Yeah.
then that's fine. Because it was everybody up and down the lane was all talking the same language, except for GRM. Their tires were perfectly fine at the back end. So I don't know what the suspension setup they had, or shockers, or springs they were putting on.
Extra rubber in the spring somewhere, or just
Well,
something.
it's a stock car, mate. Everybody's
Yeah.
got the same. So maybe not all the sames are the same as everybody else's same. That's
Yeah.
no, I'm not saying anything.
Interesting. Oh, look, Gary's been known to do some, have some little sneakies up his sleeve. He's
Pedal box. Pedal box.
he's been in the competition for a long time. He knows how to knows how to tweak some things to get what he wants. So,
Yeah, especially when you got nailed by the scrutineers for the pedal box, and then somehow that gets overturned. Curious. Curiouser
So,
and
yeah.
curiouser. The GTs, dude. GTs was cool. The GT3s, like the actual Fanatec GTs.
The GT3s were awesome, and those two Ferraris, my God, they are sexy looking cars. They just look awesome, and they go as quick as they look as well.
They do.
So, it does help having a chap by the name of Chazzy Mostert, driving one of them. That's
Yeah, and Liam
definitely
Talbot as his teammate. Like,
and
don't
Liam
forget,
Talbot. Yeah,
Talbot drives with Fraser Ross, and
yeah.
those
So
guys win GT3s
that is,
internationally.
yeah, that is a combination for sure. But the Ferraris looked awesome, and they dominated Saturday, like absolutely dominated Saturday. But the Sunday race was where it was at. That was freaking awesome between Schumacher and Miles for the race win in the Audis on Sunday.
Yeah, Tim Miles, like, who?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's an am. He's an am.
Yeah.
And
Well, they both are.
well, yeah, but is Brad really an am?
Well, he is, but you know,
his
he's
license
probably got
says
a
he is, but
yeah.
his ability.
Probably got a few more hours under his belt, but my God, that battle that they had for 3 or 4 laps where they were literally, you know, bumper to bumper, they were, you know, get they I don't think Schumacher actually ever got past, but he got up alongside of him a few times but couldn't
Oh,
quite get it
he
done.
made about 12
And
overtakes in the last attempts in the
yeah.
last 3 laps. And those two, it was actually leading up to that, though, in the last 20 minutes of the hour race,
Yeah.
it was a three-way. Like, there was one of the other Audis was up there with him as well. And
Yeah.
he sort of spun out and dropped out of contention. So it became a two-way between these two. And Schumacher, he tried left, he tried right, he
Oh,
tried
man.
left, he tried going through the middle, he tried left. And in
Yeah.
the last lap, he kind of spun out a little
Yeah,
bit.
we just got up. I think it was turn two. He just got fi finally got up the inside of him on turn two, but then they made a tiny little bit of contact about kind of
Yeah.
a third of the way down the car,
Left the track.
and made a tiny little bit of contact, and he was on the inside, but it's just that contact's kind of, you know, made the car a little bit loose, and he's just off the track, and luckily didn't put it in the gravel and you know, bin it completely. He managed to get back out for third, but yeah, it
Yeah,
was
well,
just
that
an
gave
awesome race. So
Lucchetti and Jada in the AMG who were already fighting
yeah.
with them earlier in the race, but they were so far back. That's the only reason they got second on the Sunday.
Yeah.
And Shuey, good old Shuey, the most favourite Sparky from Bathurst in the country.
Yeah.
Willie Brown is his co-pilot for the
Co
year
driver, yeah. Yep.
because
So
Triple Eight don't have a seat for him. Like, they
yeah, so
just don't have
that's
a spot. So they went, cool. Jamie goes, cool. Get into it. So now Brownie's in an Audi for the year with doing the whole season with Shuey. They got a podium, got 2/3 on his first day out.
yeah, so you take that, you know, it's a good start to the season, that's for sure. So, and like, but that just that racing, like, you know, hour long races, they've got the pit stop, the mandatory pit stops that need to be made, but there's just entertainment, like, and it's not just at the front of the field, like, there's little battle packs going on the whole way through the field, pretty much those entire GT races. Like, those cars are just awesome to watch. And how many was there? I think there was about 16 or 17 of them on track this weekend, which was good to see a bigger sized field. So,
Did you
and,
see the Ferraris coming out of the pits when they, like,
oh, they stalled it. Just what?
cocked themselves up? Yeah. And then
What happened
Talbot comes
there?
out full of, like, piss and vinegar and then just loops
Yeah.
it at turn two on cold tires. And they were in contention. Like, they were up leading the race on the Sunday. But then that pit, like, the pit release when he almost plowed into the side of,
Yeah.
oh, who was it? I can't remember. It was
Can't
a pretty
remember who it was
car.
either,
I
but
think it
yeah.
was blue and green. So he hits the
It was one of
anchors,
the
right?
AMGs, yeah.
Stops the collision, and as he goes off, just lights it up. But then the limiter kicks in for the pit lane because he's not quite out of the pit lane yet. And then he goes past the pit exit, the lane exit, and then he just can't get the
Just
car
jammed
going,
it.
and then stalls it. And
Yeah.
then the other one is sitting right up his butt, you know, and
Yeah, that
they're just
stuffed
sitting
them
there for
both.
like 20, 30 seconds at the end of the lane, waiting to go again. And then Talbot fires it up, and then he's furious, and he's just gone too hard,
Fumed.
looped it.
Yeah.
Chaz is in the pits going, but I just gave it back to you in like first spot.
We had a pretty comfortable lead, mate. What have you done
Going
there? So
all right until we just like double stacked and then
that was
got in our own way, tripped over our own dicks. But
that wasn't the biggest action though. The biggest action probably came on Saturday with the I can't remember which car it was, but the AMG
oh, tank
losing it
slapper.
coming off off the final
Turn
turn
12.
and just
Turn 12,
smashing it
final
into the
turn.
tire barriers. Yeah, that was a big
Yeah.
crash. So
That was an hour delay, that. I think they were
it
making
was,
the
yeah.
tyres. I think they were literally making the tyres out the back at the hay shed, one by one at the moulding, because it took forever to put that tyre wall back together.
Well, mate, it's island time. They're living on island time, mate. That's what
Oh, mate.
it
I've been on island time before, and that was,
is.
you might have had to waken a few coconuts up.
Oh, yeah.
So the GT is awesome. So then we get the TCRs zooming around. So pretty much Tony D kicked ass with getting pole with the his Honda Civic, set a new lap record for Phillip Island in TCR. And on race one, as he takes off from pole, he's got his teammate behind him and Josh Buchan to the side of him. They're all going into turn four. And Brad
little
Harris
bit of argy-bargy.
Kind of, escorted him off the circuit.
So I was watching that. So I still got to watch back again because it looked like he actually copped a little bit of a whack from Buchan, which then pushed him into D'Alberto, but I'm not 100% sure.
That was side by side.
Yeah.
Because Buchan and TD were side by side.
It wasn't intentional from Buchan if it was, but Buchan gave him a little bit of a nudge, first. Yeah, so that's kind of caused the concertina.
But Brad's tried to clear, I think he's tried to clear the throttle just a little bit late, and he's literally just pit maneuvered. Basically, a baby pit maneuver for TD, who's ended up at the back of the track. By the time he regathered and came back on, the whole field's gone past. It's the opening lap. Everyone's bunched up. So after Tasmania, where TD pulled into the pits and did no points for the weekend because of the
championships. Championships probably out of reach from now, I'd say.
Yeah, but he's won championships before without winning races, just through consistency. So, but as speaking of consistent, Brad Harris was a guy, his teammate for Wall Racing, legitimately took the round wind. He took the round wind because he won
easily
both Sunday races, and I don't think
I thought he won the Saturday and the Sunday, the Saturday and the second Sunday race, didn't he?
No, because the reverse top 10, he was.
Oh, no, Buchan, yeah, because Buchan won the
Buchan won the
Saturday race, yeah.
Buchan won the Saturday. Race,
yeah.
Brad was 10th, so he was on pole. Actually, race two got all swapped around a little bit, too. A couple of people got shuffled around with penalties that were applied, but Brad ended up on pole with his brother, Will. So both the Green Wall Racing Honda Civics won front row for the reverse top 10 in race two. And Brad just tore off and won that legitimately, which gave him enough points for pole on race two.
Race three
on Sunday. Even though they were alleged to have jumped the start on the reverse top 10er.
We always had some more controversy in the
PCR. Yeah, just in case. They managed to hear this appeal immediately, though, after the race, before we started race three. So everybody was square.
I don't think Wall Racing was going to be willing to sit around and frigging wait for another protest to be heard out. So
literally,
what you said, they were pretty quick into the stewards box. So
as soon as race two finished, mate, I saw with my own eyeballs Dave Walters marching straight up those stairs in race control. They looked on the replay on the TV and went, "What are you talking about? He hasn't jumped the start at all." I think it might have come through one of the officials, like a couple of the officials might have made a report.
Yeah, yeah.
Like human eyeballs as opposed to, you know, TV eyeballs. So it was all square. Happy days. GT4s debut for 18 cars worth. And there's going to be close to 30, if not more, next year, they're talking.
Yeah, there's going to be some big fields. Well, that's, you know, an awesome debut to have that many cars for the first round and all looking absolutely smick as well. Like, that's, you know, I knew this series was going to be good, and, you know, it was the first round. They got a few little tweaks that need to be done because the racing wasn't super exciting, but they haven't fixed up the BOP yet. So, you know, that's all it is. But the cars look good. They sound great. The racing, once they get the BOP in check, is going to be phenomenal. But what a way for the Mustangs at the 60-year celebration of Mustangs for the brand spanking unit. I mean, brand spanking. It's like fresh out of the factory.
Well, they kind of all are, actually.
Only one in Australia. Yeah, but this is the model itself is brand spanking new. It's not an oldish model. It is a brand spanking new model off the design floor, off the factory floor, onto the racetrack.
GT4 spec.
And it cleans up both races.
It was a weapon, man. It was a rocket.
So it was one McLaren. Medici's, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was Medici and Ryland Gray. Yeah. He's only 17 years old.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, my God. So, you know.
He was driving like he was like a 10-year veteran.
Yeah, oh, man, that was impressive. Because when they said Ryland Gray, I thought, oh, you know, I know there was another grey that used to race. It was a bit older, and then it said, "No, young kid." And I went,
Yeah,
"Okay,
his dad.
geez, well,
Yeah, his dad raced.
yeah." So he's gonna have yeah, he's got a career in front of him, that kid, because my God, that was impressive.
And there was only one McLaren that was really holding it up to him, just
There
sticking up
was,
his
yeah,
butt.
one of the McLarens. Because what they had seven manufacturers this weekend. So
Yeah,
they had their,
there were like three McLarens there. There was a
yeah,
K, there were
McLarens,
Porsche Cayennes,
Aston Martin,
the
BMWs,
M4s.
yep, they
Johnny
have
Bower was in that.
AMGs, yep.
AMGs.
Yeah. What
Another
else did they have?
Porsche.
The Ginetta, they had a Ginetta.
Oh, the Ginetta was there. True.
Yep.
True.
So yeah, they had,
And the McLarens.
yeah, and they've got, well, they can have up to 11 different manufacturers racing in this category as well, which is unheard of, really, for a racing series to have that
Yeah,
many
no one's doing
manufacturers
parity.
actually
Like,
able to
no
enter.
one's doing wind tunnel testing and all that crap.
No, God, no.
You get the car out there. Basically, we'll put some weight in it. We might clip you a little bit, and we'll
Yeah.
make you sit in the pits for a little bit longer.
Yeah,
We'll
that's
add
it.
10, 15 seconds to your pit, stationary pit time just to
Yeah.
feed you back out, as a time handicap
Yep.
for
And they,
performance.
yep. So once they've tweaked that balance of power, because those Mustangs probably need a little clipping, but once they've done that and got that balance of power sorted out, because it's the first round, they didn't really have too
Yeah.
much information to go on. So once they've got that sorted out, it might take them a round or two. But yeah, I was excited for it. It did not disappoint, and I am looking forward to round two
Oh,
in a couple of
mate,
months'
they
time.
were handing out pit lane speeding penalties like lollies. I'm not joking. There's like five
Yeah.
or six cars in that race just got nailed, 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 nailed. Penalty, penalty, penalty. Like, what?
Just done.
Because, yeah, apparently there's a bit of confusion. There's two lines as you come into pit lane. There's like a like
Oh,
two
is there?
separate,
Yeah.
yeah, there's two separate lines, and they couldn't work out which one was the timing loop and stuff. And drivers weren't hitting it like whether it was the first one or the second one, and or it's between the two or whatever. But yeah, someone should put a nice big sign and a nice
Yeah.
fluoro line there. This is the start. Like, don't worry about that line. We're using this one this weekend, and put a big signboard next to
Yeah,
it
just a sign next to it.
just to designate where you need to be hitting your limiter. Because you don't want to see
Yeah, I'd
pit
say
lane
so.
penalties, speeding penalties ruin racing.
No, that's a thing, and it does. That's the
It
annoying
does.
part.
It
Like,
ruins racing.
to be honest, like I get that they got to give a kind of penalty for like that, but it's something
Yeah, but
if
if you
it's
make
only a
it clear
minor
for
infringement.
the driver won't
Yeah,
cock it up.
but what I'm saying, the penalties themselves, what are, like, because they do, they wreck it. Like a drive-through penalty
Yeah, it's a
erases stuff,
drive-through.
like, you know. Yeah, and either make it a timed penalty, which is like 5 seconds, or fine them after the race. Give them a
Yeah,
denomination of a fine,
it's a
because, you know,
safety thing, mate. MA.
but unless it's speeding by a large amount, I get that. If it's over 10 km an hour or something
That's
like
what
that, then
the fine
yeah.
does that. They do that, mate. They do fine
Yeah.
them. So, but it is graduated. Like I said, if you're only like less than a couple of K's over, it might only be like $1,000. If
Yeah.
you're like 10 K's over, like you could be $10,000. Like there is
Yeah.
speeding fines for speeding in increments, but it's the
Yeah.
whole point about looking after dudes walking in the
Well,
lane. So.
it's a say 100%, it's a safety issue. Like, I get that. So they do need to penalize people, but I think just in terms of,
Just make the
well,
line
you know,
better.
just don't stuff it up so people know where they've got to stop. That probably would solve all the problems. So,
Yeah, pretty much. A nice big fluoro sign, like
yeah.
40K an hour here, like stuck to the
Stop here.
fence as you're coming
Yeah.
down the lane, like at eye level.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for Speed Series. Well done, Speed Series. Another successful round, the most successful round I think they've had since they've started.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
Back on free to air with Seven Mate and Seven Plus.
And like, yeah, but you look at the categories. I'll just rattle them off again this weekend. They had TCR, they had Trans Am Australia, they had GT3s, they had GT4s, they had the Porsche Michelin Cup, and they had Radicals down there. Like, just those first
Yes.
four enough are going to be to get people down there, you know? So just, yeah, go and check them out. Just do it, especially if they've got those four categories there. Like,
And the
you're
Porsche,
not.
the Michelin Sprint Challenge, which I don't particularly care for myself.
No, me neither.
Yeah, they try to do some Super Twos. They try to go for
Yeah,
the Super Twos.
they did have a little bit of fun, which was entertaining. But yeah, not still not a fan. But anywho, that's enough for the speed series because I'll talk forever otherwise. So
Otherwise, let's move on because I've got to wrap this up because I've got to go to a plane first thing in the morning to a racetrack I don't have a ticket for.
Woo.
NASCAR. NASCAR was in Texas Speedway this weekend,
They
and
were. And
the Xfinity race, Shane Van
yeah.
Gisbergen, not so good in quali, 33rd, but ended up finishing 18th, so just cleared that one off. The Giz
Didn't do too bad.
kicked,
But I tell you
made the
what
most
though,
overtakes.
first and second probably could have finished a little closer to each other though. Like, you know, I'm just
They
but
have. Okay, we'll get to that. So
yeah.
Sieg and Meyer, after the last 20 laps of chaos of
Yep.
everybody binning it and restarting and restarting and restarting and restarting, which I've just come to work out that you don't need to care about the first two
No, the first
sectors,
200 laps are pointless.
the first two stages, like
Yeah,
stage
no.
one, stage two, whatever. It's just all for points for the drivers or whatever. That's fine. Don't worry about that. They'll count them up at the end of the year.
Well, you'll try a little bit. If you're close towards those points, you know, the stage points, you'll give it a little bit, but you're still not gonna.
Oh no, I'm talking about as a fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like if you miss the first two stages, yeah, whatever. It's stage three where you're finished putting your laundry away and having it on
That's
in the
it, yeah.
background. Like you want
Oh,
to be
yeah, if
sitting
you're
down for the last stage because that's
like
when all
NASCAR's.
chaos goes on.
Exactly. And it's generally on late over here, like either early morning or kind of late morning. So if you wake up and you think, shit, I've slept in, don't worry, because you have missed the first two thirds of the race, but you haven't missed the good bit. So just tune in anyway and watch that last stage and you'll be entertained.
But Sieg had it, man. He was going for his first win ever,
Yep.
and he was in the box seat. But Meyer was just on that last restart, just put another set of super magic tires on, and was
I
just
don't know. He
pushing him and
came from
pushing him and pushing.
nowhere.
Yeah,
It was
it was like
miles
fifth
back.
or sixth. Like he's
Yeah.
sitting with like on the last restart. He's just sitting way back, just getting a draft, and then he just pushes through, gets a low line, just pushes through, and now he's on Sieg's butt.
On the yeah, but even on the last lap, with a half a lap to go on the last lap, he was still 50 or 60 meters behind him, and that doesn't seem like a lot, but that's a fair bit in NASCAR to me, like
Well, he
50 or
hit
60
NOS.
meters behind the car in front of you. Yeah. I don't know what the hell he done, but by the time he got to the finish line, he wasn't that far away, that's for sure.
Well, it was 2,000, 2/10,000ths of a second.
Point 0.002
Zero
of a
two,
second.
like
Yep.
photo finish between these two. And I mean, Sieg fought back well because actually Meyer had a coming around the, I think, the second last corner. He had about easily half a car on him, and then Sieg's got that back, but
Yep.
then couldn't hold it. So Meyer win is he wins his he wins the race and also 100K because this is that middle 4 rounds of Dash for Cash when they
Yeah, he's in the
get a
dash
hundred
for
thousand
cash, yeah.
dollars just to keep it interesting. But Allgaier and Allmendinger, they're going to be playing next week at Talladega for the 100K because we got a whole bunch of Ricky Bobby going on next
Talladega
week.
Nights. I'm on fire. I'm
But
on fire.
the Xfinity stuff, like Austin Hill, my man, he's my guy. I think he ended up like fifth or sixth or something. But so many dudes just wrecking that last segment, like 20, 30 laps to go. And especially Texas is so wide, like there's heaps of room.
Yeah.
Being a mile and a half track, not a little short track like we had at Martinsville.
Yeah, there's plenty of room, and they've.
But
It's
they
not as
didn't
good
want the
as it used
high
to be.
line. Nobody
Texas.
wanted the high line. Once you got up there, people just started like kept sliding up. So
No, because well, this is what I was just about to get into. Because Texas used to be they repaved Texas a couple of years ago,
oh, I've
and
heard all about it.
you I was going to say you probably heard about this on the podcast and things like that, but they,
The turn three
yeah.
bump.
Yeah, Texas used to be awesome. Like the racing 8, 9 years ago at Texas used to be one of the best tracks ever to just watch NASCAR's race on. And ever since they've repaved it, it's been
All they're
just
doing is taking the
effectively
top
single
coat.
file.
They're
Yeah.
taking the top coat of asphalt or concrete off and then just laying straight
Yeah.
back down. They're not going down to dirt.
Yeah.
So as the land underneath is deformed and they've got this bump and this dip, which is where everyone's
Yeah.
bouncing and then sliding up on the high side at three, that bump there is catching everybody out. They know about it, so they don't want to be anywhere near it. So it takes, it effectively shuts down half the turn.
Well, it's half the turn, and as well, as you said, like the high line, they used to be able to race through wide at Texas constantly. And
the top half of the track isn't being utilized because you're just going to get out of shape.
Yeah, you just can't race up there anymore. So, you know, they need to fix it because Texas was and still is an awesome track. They just need to fix something with that paving there. So, but hey, look, at the end of the day, it still made a bloody brilliant finish in that Xfinity race on the weekend, though. So, you know, it's
well, it did the same for the Cup better. As well. So the next day, like, Chase Elliott has his win, everyone's favorite driver. Apparently, I don't know if he's my favorite driver or not in Cup, but America love him.
Not a big fan of him.
Well, that's why you're not American, I suppose, because everybody in America loves him.
Everyone's favorite grandson, or everyone's favorite son. It's because of his dad, though. His dad was like one of the best, most loved NASCAR drivers ever, Bill Elliott. He was one of the most loved NASCAR drivers back in the like 80s and 90s, and so when Chase came in, he was everyone. Oh, he's Bill's dad, Bill's son.
So was that what Billy did after he learned how to dance ballet? He moved to America and race cars.
Yeah, race NASCAR. So yeah. And I don't know. I'm not that big of a fan of him. So,
well, the finish of the Cup Series race was awesome because we went into double overtime again. Because again, the last 20 laps, again, every man and his dog decided to try to see how much money they could spend on repairing their car by putting it into walls or up each other's butt. And what about Kyle Larson coming out and then just deciding I don't need four wheels?
Oh, did he? I haven't seen this one yet. So this,
the
this
right
is
rear
new,
wheel after the pit stop goes around a couple of times and then goes, yeah, I'm just going to do my own thing. it just rolled off and just like rolled itself down the middle of this. Like he's going left and the wheel is just going, I'm going to go over here. I'm just going to just do my own thing.
I'm going to love that.
And no, under the safety car, it's just come off.
I tried watching it last night when I went to bed, but I fell asleep within about 3 seconds because I was knackered.
Well, you got too busy walking, looking for your bike. You should have been riding your bike, looking for your bike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, should have been. But I watched that tonight. So
yeah, so he gets a 2-lap penalty for the loose wheel, of course, because that's your bog standard penalty. He ended up getting back on the lead lap after like other dudes, you know, lucky dogging and stuff. But
it's Kyle Larson. He does what Kyle Larson does.
Yeah, it wasn't just him though. There's another dude in there. They as the pit guy is trying to put the wheel on, he's taken off his pit box. Although they call it a pit stall, like a horse stall. They call it a pit stall. But yeah, the gun guy is still trying to do this wheel up on the rear left as he's driving out of the box. And he's going, yeah, this isn't binding like the lock. It's not working. It's not locking in. Before he got taken off down the road with the airline, snapping back and killing dudes, he pulls out and goes, yeah, that wheel's not done up. And then they go to the car radio. I don't know what's going on, but it feels like the back end of my car's all over the place. Yeah, you got to come back in, mate, because that rear left isn't actually attached. Yeah. Like it's on, but it's not done up. Oh, so what do I do? Well, you come back in, mate. you come back in. Yeah.
Bring it in. But obviously, it didn't quite get there in time.
So basically, in the finish at the end of it, Hamlin and Chase Elliott were going side by side, and Hamlin's just tried to send it. He's just going, I'm going on the outside here. I'm not in the right spot, but we're going for the win. There's only a lap to go. I'm just going to send it. And then spun out and hit the wall and still managed to keep going, but went from second to, I don't know, 30th or 28th or something. And then
so the win it or bin it, yeah.
Yeah, the win it or bin it attitude. And and he's gone for that and binned it. And Byron owes Ross Chastain a slab because he took him out. He properly fucking took him out.
But there's a bit of tension between those two. It's been going on for a couple of years with those two. They've had a few altercations on the track, and I dare say that is not going to be the last time they meet each other on track either. So yeah, keep watching that one.
Oh man, I am enjoying learning about NASCAR. I can tell you, I really am enjoying it. Once I learn these strategies and I'm listening to more and more from the drivers' podcasts that I listen to from their perspective, they literally get out of the cars racing and then they go and talk about it. So that's way more informative than just listening to a commentator talk about it. So I'm learning stuff about the series and about strategy. Also about the fact that their administration is just as crap as our administration and no one's happy. Whether it's a charter system or it's the short tracks or whether we have to do this or we do that, or it's a horsepower issue or it's a parity issue. Tires aren't degging properly. We need better deg, but then we had Bristol, which like degged the
We
crap
need
out of
better
everybody,
deg.
and they
We
went,
need less
well, that's
deg.
probably a little bit too much deg, but if you can kind of get it nearly like Bristol, we'll be happy. So then, like,
It is.
strategy comes in. Because when bloody Logano does 180 laps on two outside tires, not supposed to be able to race
But the thing is,
180 laps on two outside tires only
but
on a
this
pit
is the
stop.
thing. NASCAR have got all these problems. They've probably got, to be honest with you, more problems overall than supercars does with shit that's just not right at the moment. But they can still put on awesome races. Even though everything's far from perfect, the racing that they get is still top-notch. It's up there, it's
Yeah, I
bumper to
think
bumper, it's wheel to wheel. So
that might be because they have 38 cars on track.
well, that definitely does help, doesn't it? You know, they've got almost double the amount of cars that we do, but yeah,
And doubles the opportunity for some chaos, which is what the
and
fans are
it's
here for. Let's not beat around that bush. They're sitting there to watch their favorite guy win, and if he can't win, take out the guy they don't like, and then just watch
exactly.
whoever else just crashes.
Yep, 100%.
Welcome to
That's what.
stock car racing.
Yeah, love
All
it,
right, man, let's
love
wrap
it.
this up. I've got to get out of here. Win it or bin it time. Let's just punch through these things pretty quickly. As we're talking about right now, Speed Series versus Supercars. Win it or bin it.
Or speed series, if we're saying speed series over supercars, win it for
Nah, just
sure.
versus. Which one's better?
Speed series.
Speed. Yep. Okay. Currently, I agree. Speed Series is a better day out, better fan experience, cheaper. More cars that are racing side by side.
Only thing they need is which probably is going to increase the ticket prices, but just a few extra little things, maybe some, as you said, the PAs and things around the track,
Yeah, PAs, big
maybe
screens.
a screen, and just to, they've got a couple of food trucks, maybe get a bar in there, just for us piss heads.
At least Phillip Island have that canteen with the licensed little bar there at Phillip Island. But when you go
Oh,
to the other
nice, yep.
circuits like Tassie and stuff, it's all just whatever rolls up.
Nothing, yeah.
Speed Series grid walks again. That's a bin it. That's a free for all for everybody. No corporate, no
That's a bin it.
lanyards. No, it's a win it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you just said
No,
that's a
Speed
bin it.
Series grid walks. Yeah, that's a bin it. We did the GTs this time, so they're sharing it around through all the different categories. It used to just be TCR, but now it's TCR. Last one
You
was
said bin it
Trans Am.
again. It's a win it. It's not a bin it, it's a win
No,
it.
it's a win it. 100%. Absolutely. So supercars, stop being so elitist. Let the fans come down and have a walk.
Well, there you go. We just
Is
talked
there
about that, the
any
PAs on
chance?
track.
Oh yeah, we did that one. No PA or radio on the track for Speed Series. That's a bin it. Turn the radio on and put the PA speakers trackside around the joint so we can hear what's going on. Because even though it's free to air, the 7 Plus app is about a lap behind. So it just
Yeah,
is
so
what it
it's
is.
a good minute delay at least.
Yeah. Is there any chance, Rowan, NASCAR teams could keep a bloody livery from week to week?
Not a
I'm
chance in
trying to
hell.
learn the numbers. I'm trying to learn the cars by the color of their car. That doesn't work.
Don't forget it. Absolutely
It's
forget it. You never will. Look at the
five
number.
rounds in, six rounds in. I've just gone, hang on, wasn't he like in a yellow car last week? Wasn't he in a blue car the week before? What the? I've got no idea. So now I just had, that's why they only refer to cars by their number now. Because the sponsors, the round sponsor is the round sponsor. You might get two races, you might get no race. The team might just put their own bloody color on it.
And even if you've got the same sponsor, so like, Kyle Busch has his Skittles and everything like that. The Skittles have four different liveries that they'll use over the course of the year anyway. So even if it's a Skittles car, it's a red Skittles car 1 week, it's a blue Skittles car the next week, it's a green Skittles car the week after. So.
it's like watching 38 Macaulay Joneses going around.
it is.
Trying to work out what colour his car is this week.
Yeah, if you're new to NASCAR, don't even bother looking at the colours. Look at the number. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I've learnt that. I've learnt that now. I've learnt that. Also, ads. Holy crap. They love a fucking ad, don't they?
The ads in NASCAR. Like, we are spoiled with the free-to-air.
It's every 2 minutes.
Cars having no ads. But, yeah, like, dead set, you get five laps, and then you get three minutes ads. Worth of ads. And then you get five laps, which 5 laps in NASCAR is only 3 minutes. So it's 3 minutes of telecast.
Well,
3 minutes
it
of
does
ads,
depend if it's short track when it's 20 seconds a lap. Or if it's...
Well, still, then you're getting 2.5 minutes of racing followed by 3 minutes of ads. And then...
Like, come on, guys. I know you got to pay for it somehow. You got 340 million people in your countries. I'm sure they can all just chip in. Just scale back on the ads, will you? All right. That's it for Winner in a Minute. So that's it. We're done. Congratulations. I just want to give a little shout out to one of our guys that we used to follow for a long time that was in TCR, Bailey Sweeney. So close to winning the championship last year until Bathurst International when the turbo pipe came off and ripped that dream from out of his hands because he had that series nailed up. He had it nailed up, stitched up, all his. But he's now racing in the RX-8 series this year, I saw yesterday. So,
that'll be cool.
He's got himself back in the seat, which is way cool. That RX-8 series is new category. And Ross Forbes, one of our medical drivers, he's also racing in the RX-8 series as well.
So, oh, nice. That'll be cool.
So when, heaven forbid, when Bailey bins it, Ross can pull over and just give him some assistance. Because
I got you, buddy.
Ross is actually not a medico. He's the medical driver. He does the medical cars, the chase cars.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So good luck with those two guys for the RX-8. I think they're coming up to Winton shortly. They might be at High Tech Oils in SMP this weekend too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It might be at SMP for the High Tech Oils round.
Yeah, nice.
And then there's a Winton round coming up. All right, we're done. We're out of here. Topor this weekend. Somebody give me a ticket. Otherwise, I'll be the guy with the cardboard sign saying, please give me a ticket at the gate. And check out NASCAR this weekend on Foxtel.
Yep. Talladega. If you want to see NASCARs ride each other off in massive piles of crumpled metal, then this is the track to watch.
And we'll see how the SVG goes because he's pulling double duty. So,
he is. He's doing Xfinity and Cup Series this weekend.
Yep, and Cup. So good luck to everybody. Keep it safe. Keep it clean. Thank you very much, Rowan, for giving me some time. Now it's time for you to get on your little walkie-walkie sticks and go and find your righty-righty bike. And I will talk to you at the end of – we'll do the wrap-up after Topor.
Done. Sounds good. All right. Peace out, guys. See you next time.
Just before we go – got to do it. Once again, thank you very much to Bailey, to Jason Sweeney, not Bailey, for GameLife.com.au for sponsoring us for all of your streaming and gaming needs. Jump onto the website, GameLife.com.au. Almost forgot that one. All right, mate, now we're done. Punch it out.
Peace.
See ya.
What have I got left on the battery?